Yeah, welcome everybody. My name is Christoph Kur. Myself, I'm a musician. I play guitar, and I'm also worked for 10 years and more as an audio engineer in the live environment at events, and do have my own recording studio in a very small place, so I can record a drum set, yes, but not much more. A few years back, we with our band, we lost our bassist, and so we had the need to have bass. No one of us could play the bass, so we thought we will create our own sample, bass sampler. And that was the beginning of this, and today I thought, well, for this convention, I thought this would be a nice addition, because this science of creating your own sample library is somewhat forgotten. I took some research on the web and didn't really find any tutorials or anything like it. So I sat down and did it myself. And I think it would be nice to share this knowledge, and so it is preserved. Okay. First of all, what we're going to see is, first I'm going to introduce you to the equipment, which is not much at all. You can come by with a cheap microphone, 30-40 euro. You are very well done with it. An audio interface from Focusrite. It's about 100 euro. It's, I think, the most cheapest and best audio interface in the combination. So I took this. Usually headphones, there is nothing better to listen to than headphones, because they are true. They don't lie, as, for example, room acoustics can do. I will show you the software I am using. You can see a screenshot there, which software is actually started. I'm going to tell you about the recording workflow. I tell you about how you have to edit your WAV files, that the sampler afterwards can play them fine. I show you the stem export, which is a feature of the Ardour DAV. I don't know if any other DAV uses this, because I just use Ardour for over 10 years now. So, yeah. And at the end, I will tell you something about how you fit all those samples into your SFZ library. There are also other libraries, but I chose SFZ because I found it the easiest way. So, well, equipment. I just said we need a laptop, of course, a computer or a laptop. Then we have an audio interface. I wrote here more than N channels. N might be one. So in this setup, N is one. You can also use several microphones to record one instrument. For example, if you take a guitar, you could use a microphone here. You could place a microphone here. You could place a microphone here at the F holes. You could use several microphones and mix them. I'm going to show you only one microphone, because if you use several microphones, there are a lot of other problems that might occur, such as phasing and proper mixing and stuff like that. So I just wanted to tell you there is the possibility to record with several microphones to get a nicer feeling after that. Usually, I would recommend a condenser microphone, because they are more precise and they are more less resilient to noise. So in the case of recording a sample library, you usually play back the same sample often and often and often and often again. So it might be very annoying if you always start with noise. So keeping the noise down is very important in this manner, I think. Then you need miscellaneous stuff like such a mic stand, MIDI keyboard to test your stuff, and so on. Software. I'm going a little bit into detail about the software, so a little technical at this point, but won't bother you too much with the details. First of all, the digital audio workstation I'm using is Ardour 4 in this case. Usually I am using MixBus, which is the proprietary version of Ardour, which has nice analog filters and equalizers and stuff. But Ardour is open source, so I stick to Ardour at this point. As a sampler software, I'm using Linux Sampler in combination with QSampler. Thank you, Ruby, for that. And this works very well. I'm going to show you the compilation process later on, just in a few steps, because it's not that trivial. Optionally, you can use the Jack Audio Connection Kit to tie it all together. Usually, I would suppose you're not just using one sampler. You have other stuff you're using together with the sampler. But you have the possibility to just use ALDA, for example. So there is not Jack is not mandatory for this. Then we need libraries in our system. For example, Qt5. This is Qt5 is some kind of monster. You have to install libraries that have different names. Some start with Qt5, some start with libqt, minus Qt, and a lot of stuff like that. So compiling a program with Qt5 is a little bit of a pain for people who don't know how to. Then build essentials for compilers and stuff. And I'm going to go into detail right now. So we have Linux sampler here. I have different versions. But this was what I was going to show. This is my personal installation script. And can you see? Can you read it? OK. I'm not going into too much details. At the top, this is important because Linux sampler doesn't really warn you about missing dependencies at this point. It just crashes during the compilation process. This is, for example, happens if you forget to. Oh, there is not everything on the picture. No. This happens also if you forget to install Bison. Those two are dependencies of Linux sampler, which it won't tell you about. So this is kind of hard. I suppose there is a fix around the time I used this, I created this install script. This wasn't warned about. So yeah, these are dependencies you need to install in your system to build Linux sampler and the software you need to use in combination with it. For example, libLSCP, which is used for communication between Linux sampler and, for example, QSampler at this place. Then you have libgig. Libgig is the way how Linux sampler reads samples and manages them. And you have at the bottom Linux sampler. Okay. Well, I can see it better. Linux sampler, and there you have the configuration. I think this is quite important to see this configuration, how you build Linux sampler, because if you have a huge sample library, this will take a lot of RAM. And if you can optimize your program, in this case Linux sampler, it might be more efficient in dealing with the samples and giving you the full performance you want to have. And on the other side, you can configure things as cutoff filters and stuff like that. So if you want to know more details about that, you can see, you can look at it up in a configure minus help. Yeah. Configure. And here you have all the parameters you can set for Linux sampler, and there is an explanation as well. So yeah, it's the same way I did it. I looked at this configuration help, and then I chose which parameters I'm interested in and compiled Linux sampler with it. And at the end of the tool chain, of this signal chain, you have QSampler, which is the graphical front end to control your sampler. You can also use Linux sampler as LV2 plugin, for example, in Arduino. But I find that a little greasy. It's not that good feeling because I love Jack and the way Jack handles things, and I like to interconnect things via Jack and not loading plugins. So this was the compilation process. Yeah, of course. Because Linux Sampler is not in a repository, as far as I'm aware. Ah, okay. Usually I'm using Linux Mint because I like the Mate desktop, and that's my point of entry. if you have questions, please ask them. Yeah, of course. So then we go to the preparations for the recording workflow, or the other way around. Recording workflow, we have preparations to make. Those preparations, check your instrument for tuning. It's rather important. If you have the perfect take, so everything is fine, nothing is noisy, but your instrument isn't in tune, you can do it again. So I'm just gonna tune one string. Sufficient for now. Yes, that's why I use sampler. Can't play the guitar, I just can't record the strings.
Make it two today.
Ah, okay. Okay, it's nice.
Good
so.
To play Jen.
The next step, configure your DAV to provide a fast workflow. So these are somewhat soft facts, I call them, because anyone has another workflow using his DAV. So now we can see Jack and Ardwa. Wait, a new session. Very creative. Test two. Okay. What I especially mean by configure your DAV. This option is quite useful if you sit in front of your computer and do the recording as well. So you don't have to record enable the track anytime you hit stop, which is quite annoying if you do a lot of recording and a lot of wrong takes and do a lot of recording over and over again. You want to know the shortcuts. And the shortcut in this, we have to create a track first. I can show you this. So this record enable, edit. If it wasn't enabled and you hit record and then you stop, it will disarm the record and you just have to activate it again. And if you do it over and over again, as I said, it's going to be annoying. If you activate, keep record enable, do the same thing again, and then record is enabled. Okay, so much for that. Another thing which is quite annoying, if Ardwa is most likely to be set to a grid on the first startup. So if you don't want to use a grid, which I recommend at this point, you have to choose it at this point. Because later on, we're going to move regions of the recorded samples, and we want to do this sample accurate, because we want to trim our samples as accurate as possible. So a grid would hinder us at this point. So much for the workflow configuration. Then microphone position, which is also a soft fact. It depends on the instrument you want to record. It depends on there's a lot of artistical room here. You can you could place the microphone behind you and listen to it how the instrument sounds this way. So I'm just using it the standard way you would record a semi-acoustic guitar or an acoustic guitar. You go to this place because at this point you have the best balance between the strings and the body of the instrument. So this is where I'm gonna stick. Also important, the microphone gain. So you have to adjust the gain to the maximum output you are expecting. So the loudest tone you're gonna play. At this point we want to, later on we want to record several attacks for one note. say we record the note C, and then we want to have four attacks, for example. Low attack, low moderate, high moderate, and then hard attack, for example. And to record all those attacks in the right ratio to each other, you have to stick to the same gain adjustment you have on the microphone channel and adjust it to the loudest tone so that this tone isn't going to clip, because otherwise, if it's going to clip, it's going to ruin your recording. So play the clip until there is no red LED, and then you're set. Okay, it was adjusted right away. As I said, keyboard shortcuts, very important, because if you have one, if you have the guitar on your knee, you just have one hand, and it's annoying to just hand over and put the guitar back. Keyboard shortcuts, important. For example, in Arduo, you have the space bar, which starts the transport. With control space, you delete the actual recording and jump back to position one, which is really nice if you are sitting alone in front of your computer trying to record and you make errors. Just control space bar, jump back, and reject all you recorded. There are other shortcuts which I will explain later on. Yeah. Yes?
Question?
Yeah, of course.
Or like, do you use the shift and spacebar shortcut to like arm the session for recording and start or playback?
I did in the past, but I forgot what it means. So okay. Remind me, perhaps I'm using it again.
Yeah, because you've shown you can like check this option in settings so it doesn't disarm the whole session for recording.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just press shift space and it will arm the session for recording and start playback or recording transport immediately. So
Well,
that's a shortcut.
That's
too.
Also a very useful shortcut for such use cases. Yeah, we're going to start with recording. Please be quiet for a moment. A little hard. This is the 127. So, okay, now we've recorded it. I don't do quality checking right now because of the time. Usually I would listen to it via headphones to see if there is any noise, which will be present here, or any crackling or any distortion of some sort. But I'm going to skip that right now. But keep be reminded, headphones. Always listen to what you're doing. It keeps you from wasting time. Now we have another shortcut, the S button, which if you have selected such a region here in Arduo, with S you just cut at the place where your cursor is right now. This is quite nice. The next step, we want to have several WAV files we can load as samples. And we want Arduo to manage this via the stem export, which I will explain later. So for this reason to later use the stem export feature of Arduo, we have to create several audio tracks. So we have four attacks, four regions. So I create four tracks. The first is the lowest attack, second the second loudest, third loudest, and fourth. Ideally, we directly give it a name. Okay, now we're gonna go to the. I'm going back to the slide. Yeah, I didn't mention that because while I was recording, it was not so nice to babble into the microphone. You have to hold the note until it's gone and until it's disappeared. Because if you play the sampler and you just have the case that you want to have the note really play long and it suddenly stops after, say, 1 or 2 seconds, that is not what you wanted to intend at this point. So have the patience to wait for the signal to completely disappear. I know it's sometimes hard to sit there and wait, but it's necessary at this point. Yeah. Play the next stronger attack. Listen to the takes, as I said. They should be perfect, else you will be dissatisfied later. If you put all the effort in your sample library and you just did not record just one note, which is one tone, but 78 tones, I don't know how what you want to record, and you have done all that until now to all those tones, this scales pretty much in pretty useless work if you didn't do perfect samples, and you will be very annoyed about that. Now the editing workflow. How you gonna edit those regions so that you can later load them into your sample library. Okay. You see that we have different attacks here, which is one of the problems you might encounter. You have to edit the tracks in a way that they all start at the same time. Otherwise, if you hit your key on the keyboard, depending on the strength you hit the button, it might happen that the sound plays later or earlier, depending on how accurate you have trimmed your regions in the first place, the sample. So we zoom in later, but for now we do the raw editing here. Be sure not to cut anything away of the attack, because the attack is what you will hear in the most of the cases. So if you take a note and you have a really short note in your sequencer or something, you won't hear anything because your sample, the attack of your sample, is starting too late and the MIDI note is already gone. The MIDI off note has already appeared in your sequencer, and thus the sample is never played. Because of that, it is important that you start with your sample right away. Sorry? It's the track, it's a touchpad. It's nothing special at the moment. It's an old touchpad, so it's quite a bit of hammering on it. And if you zoom further in, what is really helpful as well is if you increase the height of each channel, because then you can better see where each sample is gonna start and where it's actually really zero. So here we can see that we should cut. You can do this with the accuracy you want. I'm just going a little bit raw here to not waste too much time. And because this laptop is a little bit old and not quite well. Go here. Yeah, and the first attack will be quite difficult because there is not really much of an attack. Possible. Oh yes. Yeah. You see, that are the small culprits you're gonna find. So now it should look fine. Okay, now we've edited it. What we still can do is cut the end of it. Here, for example, I saw there was a little noise. Oh. I actually did it the first time in Audacity, but I just went to Ardo right away. It's agnostic to any DAV you have. So also
if it's your personal preference, does Ardo offer any tools that you cannot find in, for instance, Audacity?
I'm sure it does, but not for this use case. This use case you can use, I suppose, any DAV. I didn't try any DAV for it, but it's straightforward. So straightforward recording. The stem export feature, okay. This might be special to Ardua, I don't know. So because I just use Ardua, I don't know if it's special, but it's nice. It's useful. Okay, so you have your answer. Wonderful.
One more comment. Could you zoom back in to the beginning of the sample?
Where shall I zoom?
Just to the beginning.
Yeah.
And then zoom horizontally. Mm-hmm. Very, very much, like you had.
Yeah,
before.
It takes some time with this touchpad.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
You see the blue area?
This area.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just to comment on that, because this is when you do the stem export, I expect that will be applied to the sample. So if you trim it even further and the initial attack of the sample moves into this blue area, it will actually be turned gradually up volume-wise.
Yeah,
so you might lose some of the attack of the sample.
Yeah, I see. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about crossfading at this point. This is usually used if you have two regions that overlap, that so that there is a smooth gain adjustment. I don't know why it's present here right now, but I didn't have the impression that it had an influence on at the start of the region. But yeah, these are a little. This is one of the details you have to take into account. If you want to create a nice sample library that is satisfying and not just crackling and rumbling. Yeah, but these are, for example, special things about DAVs where you have to know your DAV. Yes?
To the sample library in terms of multiplicity of notes. I think guitar and bass are both pretty interesting instruments for sampling. And that is because of the fretboard design. Because it, you will have multiple A3 notes, for instance, on the fretboard, which means they will sound different. For the project that you did for replacing your bass player, where this might be more required than for your guitar presentation. How did you come over this? Did you utilize everything? Did you go for like not sampling every note? I guess you did probably.
I will come to that later.
Okay,
I will talk about the SFZ library and I will show you our own library, which is pretty amateur-like, but it works. but now we're gonna. Yeah.
One short.
Yeah.
About this blue region. If you cut a sample and it's not in the zero crossing, you will have a pop, a noise. Mm-hmm. So I think it's only to gradually fade into it to avoid this pop.
This would make a lot of sense, yes. Thank you. Okay. So now we have four tracks for four attacks. And now we use the stem export feature here. You can find it on the session and then export, stem export. First, you have to choose your channels. Simple, select all. No, not all. The first, we don't want to have this channel. Then another thing which I didn't comment until now, you can, of course, apply equalizers, compression, FX, reverb, delay, whatever you want to do with your library. It's an artistic way you can create your own library. And so you have to apply this processing if you used some before. You could, I'm going to show it a short way. You could use, as you know it from any other DAV, could place some plugin in here. Oh, I don't, no, that's not what I want. I don't have any plugins installed here, so I can't show you, sorry. yeah, but you have the possibility to include plugins whatsoever and yeah, process your samples with it. So if you did so, don't forget to apply this processing with this checkbox. You also have to, I forgot something. You have to set the end marker because the stem export exports up to the end marker. And then you should have a look at your samples if they align in a nice fashion. So yes, they do. Would be not so good if you put the end marker quite in the middle of some sample, so be aware of that. Now we're going to stem export. And here you can choose the time span which stem export has to export. The time span is from start to end. But you could also choose other markers that you set in between and could use those time spans. At last, you have to choose the file format. I have Jack running with 69 kilohertz and we take 32-bit float. And the display is too small. Yeah. Now everything is fine and should work. Now we're going to export them. It's quite fast for just those few samples. The samples in Arduino, the exports in Arduino are usually put in the export directory. Now we have to rename those because they got labeled. But this labeling is inappropriate for Linux sampler. So we have to take a little adjustment. Oh, of course.
Does the mic work? Oh, thanks. You can change the way Ardour names the exported files. So you could like disable some options so you don't have to rename them
later. Yeah, I know, but I forgot. So I have to do it right now.
Okay.
Okay, now we have renamed the samples, and at this point we're gonna create our sample library. Now we're gonna create a folder. We call it sample lib is already taken. Test lib. It's not that creative, I know. And now we're gonna copy. Could you cut some 1 kilohertz from the microphone or stuff? Thank you. So we copy it to this directory. And now we need the SFZ file. Editing workflow. As I said, create a track for each tag, cut the beginning and the end. We cut the regions, we trim the end to the last valuable audio data, and then we set the end marker. Apply your favorite signal processing, always listen to it to have a control, and then we're going to stem export, which we had right now. We repeat this for every note we want to record. At this point, we're just recording one note. Then we dump it all to several to different tracks. Choose appropriate export file format. Yeah, all the stuff that I did. And now we're going to the SFZ library. The important thing is that the SFZ file has to be in the top level directory of the sample library. Oh, it's definitely not my laptop now. here. So I have a template right here. So, okay, at this point you have to write down the node here at the top, which is a C in our case, and then you have to write every sample at this point. C4, C1. I made a mistake, but that's not a problem. Can I? Yeah, okay. Control Z doesn't do it. It's okay? Better? Okay, we are going to make a Z out of it. And then we have the samples, and we call the appropriate samples. Now the mistake I made, the attack, I recorded the lowest attack and labeled it with C1. At this sample library, at this point in this template, the highest is named C1, so I have to switch it. Just so that you're not confused. Yeah, but these are lesser numbers I have to change. More efficient. So, I'm gonna erase all the rest. Now we have... Now we have 4 attacks for 1 node. Is this better? Yeah. We have 4 nodes. At this point, this is what SFZ library expects for each node. A node is called a region. And you have here a beginning region, the sample, we're going to call the key, which is the key on a full-scale piano, and then you can count the keys by the number. And we have the low velocity and high velocity. Here you can set the region for which region this sample is going to be played. You also have this for the other attacks, which by example is a different region by definition. But since we map it to the same key with different velocities, we have just another attack for the same node. And thus, those 4 regions may be called a single node, but it's not quite accurate. The next step, this is sufficient to create our one-tone sample library. We copy it to the top level folder of the sample directory for our sample library. And next we need a sampler. This is QSampler, and QSampler automatically launches Linux Sampler. So let me make it a little bit higher. In the background, at the bottom you can see Linux Sampler initialization and so on. You can see what's going on with Linux Sampler. Then we create our audio device. Yeah. Okay, it's already chosen. You can see here, this is the name of the jack client we want to use. This is the sampling rate, the audio channels, and whether it's active or not. We create it. So we have audio jack device 0 here. You can see all the things that happen. Is mixed channel? No, we don't use this. We also need a MIDI device to control the sampler, because otherwise it doesn't make much sense. Here you can see MIDI in 0. And now we can close this dialog. One important thing, what I didn't do, A to J MIDI daemon, so that we can later on use this MIDI keyboard just to test the library, but it doesn't play well with Jack MIDI, so you need the bridge. Here you can see the keyboard. Oh, there is it. We connect it to the MIDI through, so that it comes out the Jack MIDI on the Jack MIDI side. We can use this MIDI through, plug it into Linux sampler, and we have MIDI in Linux sampler. Now we're gonna add our SFZ library. First of all, we have to choose the engine, which might be GIG, SF2, or SFZ. Well, I decided for SFZ. I didn't have a look at the others, but SFZ looked very simple to me. I could understand it, so I used it. Then we choose the library. In this case, testlib template. Now we can see here template.sfz0. We can set the MIDI channels. I always set this for testing purposes to all, so I don't have to bother about it. MIDI jack device, okay, is the only one we created. Also the audio jack device, the only one we created. Since we are using a chromatic instrument, a guitar or a bass, we set this to chromatic. The other way around, we could use a drum kit and record a drum kit. We would have to set drum kits at this place. So now we have created the instrument from this sample library. And now we should, okay, MIDI is coming in. This is nice. Now be aware. Now sound might occur. Yeah, I don't know where this on here. Okay, then we're gonna correct it. I don't play piano, so I'm not very familiar with the keys. But I'm prepared. 48. You change this to 48. And we have to load the sample library again. I don't know if now. I'm gonna erase the whole channel to cleanly load it again. Okay, now we have template SFZ, and now we change this. This is surprising. Didn't have that until now. Okay, I choose this. Gone into all. Yes. So, I forgot the jack connection last time. No, bad idea. Now, there we have a sound. It's full on my. Now I'm full on, so. It's not the best keyboard, so you can hear the noise if I play the. I'm trying to hit the low attack. Can you hear the rumbling in the background? So this is what you typically want to avoid, because if you have this in a nice music clip you are gonna do. And then it's rumbling in the background, so it destroys everything you worked on. So be careful with noise and with other distortions. It's not nice to have those in your sample library. Yeah. So you have the attack and you have a low attack. Okay, the rest is playing. At this point, I just wanted to give you this hint. Yeah, why can't, okay, do it this way. The SFZ library is, oh, okay, that was nice. This is the homepage where you can find the specifications for the SFZ format. It's quite complex. You can also do stuff like pitch bending. You can generate your own envelope. This is further down. Yeah. You can do a lot of things with SFZ. Until now, I didn't do a lot of stuff with it. I just did the basic stuff. And I lack the time to go more into detail for myself, for my own library, which I wanted to present you. But yeah, on this page, if you have the interest to do your own sample library, you can find any detail that is available for SFZ. And yeah, it's quite potent, I suppose. Playback pitch, MIDI number, transpose, tune. We have quite a lot of options here. So I'm going to show you our amateur-like sample library. This is how it looks like. A lot of samples. You have A1 with a low attack, A1 with a high attack, A1 with, and so on. And you have this for every note on the fretboard. So this takes quite a long time to record such a sample library if you sit in front of your computer and you want to have it all perfect. A fully grown SFZ file looks like this. You have regions for every attack, for every note. And here you would also integrate the things I mentioned from the SFZ library, like filters, amplifier curves, whatsoever. There's a lot of stuff you can do with SFZ. And the reason why I chose SFZ is because of this plain file format. You can use a text file editor, create all the things you want about your sample library, put the samples in the same directory, and everything's fine. You don't have to do some packaging or compression or have a single file or anything. I found this was the most transparent and straightforward way to create your own sample library. Yes. Of course. There it is. But it will not be as good as the one right now. It might sound quite ugly. Ja. Muten wir dich mal alle. There is the guitar. That's our own recorded bass library. There is, if you, could you put a little bit louder? I want to, hello. Hello. Could you put the volume a little bit up? I want to show some crackling. Hope it won't be too loud. Where is it? You can hear the sample starting and stopping, and this is because of, you have to to do envelope manipulation if you want to have to do this really well, so that the envelope starts slow and falls slow, and it falls until the media off is received, not until your sample is completed. That's the difference. If you play a note, if you have an envelope, an ADSR curve that controls the sample goes completely down to zero, even if the sample isn't completely played. So this is a thing I have to do for this sample library to apply these ADSR curves. But it's usable. We're playing together with our Raspberry Pi, so it's working quite well. Yeah, that's from my side. Any further questions? Happy to answer. Yes.
During the STEM export, you explicitly said you exported to 32 bits. Is there a reason for this?
Yeah, Jack Native.
Okay.
That's the only reason.
You wanted to avoid resampling, and that's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you have multiple wave files or multiple samples in for one note, one velocity?
I didn't try that. I say yes, but in a slightly different way. You can, of course, mix your samples in the first place, as I said during the recording process. You could record four microphones and just put it and mix them into one sample. But at this point, you can take care of artifacts like phasing. If you have a microphone, if you take a microphone at different places, if you have a microphone spotted here and spotted here, phasing will occur if you mix those two microphones together, because the sound wave that is emitted from here arrives later at this microphone and vice versa. So phasing will occur, and if you do this in the recording and editing process, you can a little bit control this. If you put this in the sample library and just play back several samples, which you could do if you load several sample libraries and let them react to the same MIDI channel, for example, then you wouldn't have control over this artifact, and you would have to live with it. So yeah, there are ways. I don't know if explicitly in the sample library, but workarounds, you could use this in a way, but be careful because of artifacts that might occur.
I was wondering about the question that was asked earlier on how to manage the different sounds from, so same notes over the fretboards could be played at different places on different strings.
Yeah.
And what was your approach to solve that?
We hard recorded them.
Okay. Because I was thinking probably it would be more tedious, but usually on a neck, there are positions like your index finger would be where you would refer to as your main ending point when playing. And so you could have several banks for several region. Actually, using mute groups, you could have more realism in regard to on which strings the notes are played.
Yeah, totally. This was not how you create a perfect library, because if you buy such a product, there are sample libraries you can buy for,
yes,
especially bass libraries.
Not for Linux, though.
Yeah, but they put a lot more effort in those sample libraries as I did in mine. This is just for us that we have something to use, and we were too cheap to buy some sample library, and thus we made our own. Yeah.
Okay.
The more time you invest in such a library, the better it gets.